Welcome back, everybody. Today, we're going to be doing a deep dive into Agna Holdings, which is a venture capital firm. And what we're using for source material today is they have a newsletter called the Agna Museletter. And it's really interesting stuff. It's pretty in-depth.
Yeah.
But I think we can handle it.
I think so, too.
So let's just jump right in. What really struck me right off the bat was how laser focused they are on companies built on data and engineering.
Data and engineering, especially within like emerging markets like India and the Middle East.
Exactly.
Which suggests they have a really strong belief in those two things to drive like truly groundbreaking innovation.
Yeah. And they even came up with this really interesting term for their approach.
Oh, yeah.
The Manthan philosophy, which I have to admit, I had to look that one up.
I did, too.
I was a little lost.
I like it, though.
Yeah. Once you understand what they mean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a clever analogy, actually. It comes from Hindu mythology.
Okay.
And it refers to the churning of the ocean to yield both treasures and poison.
Okay.
So they see deep tech as this vast ocean of possibilities.
Okay.
And their investment process is the churning.
Oh. Okay.
So like sifting through the hype.
Gotcha.
To uncover genuine breakthroughs, but acknowledging that like even the most promising technologies can have like unintended consequences.
So it's not just blindly chasing the next big thing. It's about like being aware of the potential downsides too.
Totally.
Yeah. So how does that actually play out? Like how does this Manthan idea?
Well, I mean, it seems like it informs their entire approach, right?
Okay.
It's not just chasing quick profits. They're looking for companies that are both financially viable and ethically sound.
Just that aligns with their principles of Dharma.
Dharma, right, which is like the right path.
Yeah.
And Karma, which is like
purposeful action.
Purposeful action,
So it seems like they would favor entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
Who are kind of in it for the long haul.
Yeah, totally.
And deeply invested in their ventures,
which
actually kind of reminded me of Nassim Taleb's book, Skin in the Game.
Oh, yeah.
Where he argues kind of the same thing.
Yeah.
And that was one of the books that they had in their top reads.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So they're looking for entrepreneurs who are more focused on like building lasting solutions than just, you know, chasing hype cycles and stuff. And their journey as a firm actually reflects this evolving philosophy.
Okay.
So they started in 2016 exploring deep tech's potential.
Okay.
Then launched blockchain funds focused on like bridging East and West in 2019.
Okay.
And then by 2023, they'd really fully embraced the Manthan approach.
All right.
And just zeroed in on deep tech investments.
Okay.
In emerging markets.
Okay. So let's talk about this East-West corridor concept.
Yeah.
Why are they so focused on connecting those two regions?
Well, they see a really powerful synergy between the West's history of cutting-edge research and the East's like rapidly growing economies.
Okay.
And hunger for technological solutions.
Okay.
So they believe that by investing in companies bridging this gap, they can like tap into explosive growth and generate some substantial returns.
So they're betting that emerging markets will not only adopt these new technologies, but also adapt them and then like innovate upon them in ways that we can't even foresee right now.
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
They believe these markets are poised to leapfrog ahead, unburdened by like legacy systems and infrastructure.
And that's a really bold prediction.
It is.
And one that raises a lot of questions about what that future might look like.
Totally.
Yeah. And speaking of bold predictions, their newsletter dives into some pretty mind-bending stuff.
It does.
Like they kicked things off in May 2024 with a deep dive into quantum computing, but not just any quantum computing.
Oh.
Quantum computing in space.
Oh, wow.
Which is a great example of how they're thinking outside the box.
Yeah.
And they pose this question. What can space offer quantum computers that Earth cannot?
I don't know. I'm curious.
Right.
It's a great question.
And it turns out quite a lot, actually.
Really?
Yeah. So this idea of launching quantum computers into orbit.
Yeah.
What are the advantages? I'm picturing like a massive server farm just like floating out in space.
I know, right?
Yeah.
But it's less about the visuals and more about like the unique environment space provides.
Okay.
So like the near zero gravity and extreme cold could significantly enhance the stability and processing power of these computers.
Oh, the quantum computer.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Which could lead to breakthroughs
in
all kinds of things, like efficient space propulsion systems to incredibly accurate space debris tracking, even implications for us here on Earth.
Oh, okay.
Like advanced climate modeling.
Wow.
Ultra secure quantum communication networks.
Okay, so it's not just about exploring the cosmos. Right. It's about leveraging these unique conditions of space
to
solve problems.
To solve problems on and off Earth.
Yeah, both on and off Earth.
Totally.
And it highlights Agna's like really forward-thinking
approach.
Approach, yeah.
They're not just looking at what's currently possible.
Right.
They're exploring what might be possible in the future.
Yeah.
And they're identifying the companies that are poised to make that happen.
Okay, so from the vastness of space, they brought us back down to Earth with a look at how gaming is evolving beyond entertainment.
Right.
Yeah, which is another example of them like identifying these emerging trends and connecting them back to their investment thesis.
And it makes sense.
Yeah.
Because gaming is becoming a multi-billion dollar global force.
Yeah.
You know, impacting culture, technology, the economy in profound ways.
Yeah. It's no longer just about having fun.
No, not at all.
Right. It's about
fostering like cognitive development, building global communities, creating real world economic opportunities.
Yeah. That's a far cry from the days of like pixelated Pac-Man and Donkey Kong.
Totally.
Right.
And that evolution is precisely what makes it so interesting from like an investment perspective.
Blah, blah,
So they highlighted specific trends for investors to watch, like AI-driven game development, the continued rise of mobile gaming, the potential of blockchain technology, and the emergence of these like hyper-specialized indie studios that are creating like these really unique experiences.
Okay, so they see significant potential in these areas, especially in these rapidly growing markets like India, the UAE, and Southeast Asia.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I mean, if you look at how much the gaming landscape has already changed just in the past couple of years, I think they're probably right.
They probably are.
But then they didn't stop there. They also dove into the world of artificial intelligence.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Which feels kind of unavoidable these days. Yeah. You can't really have a conversation about technology.
You can't get away from it.
Without talking about artificial intelligence.
But again, they went beyond like the surface level hype.
Yeah.
You know?
And this is where their focus on data and engineering really comes into play.
Exactly.
So they were highlighting how advancements in computing power, big data, and AI models combined with these critical innovations in semiconductors, GPUs, edge computing.
It's all connected.
Right.
Yeah.
Are fueling incredibly sophisticated AI applications across industries.
And they even gave some concrete examples of companies that are utilizing AI in like really groundbreaking ways.
So they're not just saying AI is the future.
No.
They're identifying the advancements in the specific companies that are actually making it happen.
And they mentioned companies like Viz.ai, which uses AI to analyze medical images.
Oh, wow.
And it achieves like a 95% accuracy rate in detecting certain diseases.
Okay.
Which surpasses human capabilities in many cases.
So it's doing a better job than humans.
In some cases,
Wow.
Yeah, pretty amazing.
And then there's Tempus.
Yeah.
Which is using AI to...
to personalize cancer care.
Okay.
And accelerate breakthroughs in oncology.
Okay, so that's like very specific targeted applications of AI. But then they also talked about Shield AI, which is completely different.
Totally different.
And develops autonomous drones for defense and national security, which is wild.
It is pretty wild.
Yeah, so that's powered by cutting-edge AI algorithms.
It is.
So that's a pretty diverse range of applications.
It is.
Which highlights the pervasiveness of AI across different sectors.
And while they acknowledge the incredible potential of AI, they also emphasize that we're still in the early stages.
Right.
And most AI today is what we call narrow AI.
Right.
It excels at specific tasks, but lacks the like general intelligence of humans.
So artificial general intelligence. or AGI.
AGI, yeah.
Is still a distant goal.
It's still a ways off.
But... And they pointed to warnings from experts.
Yeah.
Like Jeffrey Hinton, who stressed the need for...
For ethical oversight.
Yes.
And careful alignment of AI development with human values.
Yeah, that's a really important point.
It is.
Like, as AI becomes more and more powerful,
yeah.
we really need to make sure that it's being developed and deployed responsibly.
Yeah, yeah.
But let's take a step back from the cutting edge for a minute and talk about engineering.
Okay.
One thing that struck me was their exploration of the historical role of engineering.
Yeah.
It felt kind of like a detour at first.
Uh-huh.
But it actually made a lot of sense in context.
It did, yeah.
So they started with these like remarkable feats of ancient engineering, like the Roman aqueducts.
Yeah.
Highlighting the enduring power of like fundamental principles.
Like math and geometry and stuff like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then they jumped to modern marvels.
Okay.
Like the Burj Khalifa and the International Space Station to show the ingenuity and collaborative spirit that drives technological advancement.
It's easy to get caught up in the excitement of like, new technologies, but...
Yeah, forget that they're all built on this foundation of principles that have been around for centuries.
That's right.
Yeah, and they went on to discuss how engineering is enabling these cutting-edge technologies today.
Oh, yeah, they talked about 3D printing.
3D printing, exactly. Yeah.
Allowing us to create prototypes faster with less waste.
Right.
And biomimicry.
Yeah, which is really fascinating.
Where engineers are drawing inspiration from nature to solve problems.
Which is leading to some really...
Amazing solutions.
Yeah, amazing solutions.
Yeah, and they highlighted the critical role of engineering in fields like sustainable mobility, climate tech, and national security.
Right, where they're harnessing these emerging technologies to address humanity's most pressing challenges.
Exactly.
So it's a reminder that engineering isn't just about building things.
No, not at all.
It's about solving problems.
It's about problem solving.
And shaping the world around us.
Yeah, and speaking of shaping the world,
right.
Agnes seems particularly interested in the role emerging economies are playing in the deep tech revolution.
Yeah, and this is where their east-west corridor concept really comes into focus.
Exactly.
Because they specifically highlight the rise of India, the UAE, and Saudi Arabia as these key players.
Key players, yeah.
In several critical industries.
Yeah.
So let's break that down a little bit.
Okay.
What makes these three countries stand out in Agnes' view?
Well, they see them
becoming
powerhouses in aerospace,
okay.
defense, AI, and semiconductors, which are like essential industries for economic growth and national security.
Yeah, and it's not just speculation. They actually pointed to concrete developments in each country that support this assessment. So, for instance, they talk about ISRO, which is the Indian Space Research Organization, which has made incredible strides in space exploration with a focus on like cost effectiveness and ingenuity. And then they also discussed initiatives like the $10 billion Semicon India program, which is aimed at making India a global hub for semiconductor manufacturing.
So India is really focusing on building self-sufficiency.
Yes.
Technological independence.
Yeah. What about the UAE?
Well, the UAE has set its sights on becoming a global leader in AI by 2031.
Wow.
So they've launched these ambitious national strategies and initiatives.
Yeah, like the $816 million National Space Fund to drive innovation.
It sounds like they're saying,
yeah.
we're not just going to be consumers of technology, we're going to be creators and leaders.
Yeah, exactly.
And what about Saudi Arabia?
Right, they're undergoing some pretty dramatic
transformations
as well.
Yeah, their Vision 2030 plan
includes
massive investments in AI, a push to develop their own semiconductor industry, and a goal to localize 50% of their defense manufacturing.
Wow, so it sounds like all three countries are making these major moves in the deep tech space.
They are.
So what's the big takeaway from Agnes' perspective?
Well, they believe that emerging markets,
you
know, unburdened by legacy systems, are in a unique position to embrace new technologies and implement them in these like innovative ways.
Okay.
Potentially leapfrogging ahead of more developed economies in some areas.
It's a really interesting perspective that really challenges traditional
It does.
About technological development.
It does. I mean, it makes you think about where the next wave of innovation is going to come from.
Yeah, but it's not all about, you know, rockets and ships.
Right.
They also dedicated a whole newsletter to exploring how frontier technologies are revolutionizing healthcare.
Okay.
And conservation efforts.
Yeah. They explored how technologies like AI, gene editing, synthetic biology are really like blurring the lines between science fiction and reality.
Totally.
Offering solutions that were just like unimaginable a few years ago.
Yeah. And they were talking about these communities like Vitalia and Zuzalu, which are pushing the boundaries of life extension research.
It's interesting.
Yeah, and exploring radical new approaches to health and longevity.
Interesting.
And then there's companies like Altos Labs and New Limit, which are pioneering these cellular reprogramming techniques that could potentially reverse the aging process.
Reverse the aging process.
Which is pretty wild.
It is wild.
Yeah, and then on the conservation front, they talked about AI tools like virtual cells.
Virtual cells.
Yeah.
What's that?
So virtual cells are used to model complex ecosystems and develop strategies for conservation and restoration.
Okay. Can you unpack that a little bit? What does that mean exactly?
So basically, researchers are creating these computer models that simulate the behavior of living cells and entire ecosystems.
Okay.
So these models can then be used to test different conservation strategies, predict the impact of environmental changes, and even design new approaches to restoring damaged ecosystems.
So it's a really powerful tool that's allowing scientists to understand and manage the natural world in ways that were never before possible.
In ways that were never before possible, yeah.
It's incredible to think how far we've come in terms of understanding and manipulating biology.
It is.
But as we kind of delve deeper into these frontier technologies, I have to remember that they raise some pretty profound ethical questions.
Big ethical questions.
Yeah. Agna acknowledged this in their newsletter.
Okay.
Highlighting the need for careful consideration of the ethical implications.
Right.
And the importance of developing safeguards to make sure they're used responsibly.
Yeah, like they mentioned CRISPR, for example.
Oh, yeah.
Which is this revolutionary gene editing technology
that
has the potential to cure diseases,
right,
but also raises concerns about unintended consequences.
Yeah, of course.
And the potential for misuse.
Yeah.
So it's a powerful tool.
It is.
That requires like really careful and thoughtful stewardship.
It does.
Yeah. But for all the ethical complexities,
there's
no denying the incredible potential of these technologies.
That's true.
To really transform our world for the better.
And Agni is clearly excited about the possibilities.
Yeah.
They even highlighted regulatory changes that are helping to accelerate like the development and approval of these treatments. Like the FDA's Breakthrough Devices Program and the EMA's PRIME scheme in Europe.
Right.
And these programs recognize the urgent need to get these innovations to the people who need them as quickly and safely as possible.
As quickly and safely as possible, yeah.
Yeah, and they even mentioned that the AI healthcare market is expected to grow from like $11.6 billion in 2023.
Wow.
To $31.4 billion.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
By 2030.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that reflects the rapid integration of these technologies into healthcare systems all around the world.
That's a staggering growth rate.
It is.
Yeah. And it underscores the transformative potential of these technologies.
Of these technologies in healthcare.
In healthcare, yeah.
And it's just one example of how deep tech is disrupting industries and creating new opportunities.
Yeah. But let's shift gears for a moment and talk about energy.
Okay.
Which is on everyone's mind these days.
It is.
Especially with growing concerns about climate change.
Yeah.
And the need to transition to a more sustainable future.
Totally.
What was Agna's take on this?
They took us on this fascinating journey through the evolution of energy.
Okay.
Starting with fire.
Okay.
Moving all the way to fossil fuels.
Right.
Which have, you know, dominated the energy landscape for centuries.
Yeah.
And then they discussed, like, the resurgence of renewables.
With solar, hydrogen, and even nuclear emerging as key contenders for meeting our future energy needs.
So they see a role for all of those.
Yeah. And they even explored the possibilities of space-based energy solutions.
Okay. Like what?
Like orbital solar power.
Wow.
Nuclear propulsion.
That sounds like
It does, right?
Yeah.
Like something straight out of a science fiction movie.
Yeah.
But these are actual technology being explored by scientists and engineers.
So they're looking beyond the current limitations of our energy infrastructure.
Goalie.
And exploring these entirely new paradigms.
Exactly.
That's pretty bold.
It is.
But they also acknowledge that there are some major challenges that
we
have to overcome, right?
Yeah, they talked about the intermittency of renewable energy sources.
Right.
Like solar and wind.
Yeah.
Meaning they're not always available when we need them.
Right.
They also discussed like the cost of implementing these technologies
mm-hmm.
on a large scale.
Right.
And the need for like innovative storage solutions
right.
to overcome those intermittency challenges.
Cool.
But they also highlighted some promising developments like
yeah.
the European Union's investment in smart grids to optimize energy use and reduce waste.
And they see small modular reactors.
Small modular reactors or SMRs.
SMRs as a potential game changer for nuclear power, making it more
cost effective,
easier
to deploy.
Okay, so it's a complex puzzle.
It is.
With a lot of moving pieces.
Yeah.
But there's definitely a sense of optimism that we can find solutions to our energy challenges.
Yeah, AGNA believes that achieving net zero emissions by 2050 will require like a combination of technological breakthroughs, strong policies, and global cooperation.
It's not going to be easy.
It's not, but they're not shying away from the challenges.
Right, but they're not giving in to despair either. And they're actively seeking out the companies developing the technologies and the solutions to get us there.
It's inspiring to see that kind of forward-thinking and proactive approach.
It is. It is. But it's not all theory and speculation with AGNA, right?
Like
they're also actively engaging with the deep tech community and participating in real world events.
They are their founder, Pranav,
is
often taking the stage
mm-hmm.
to share their insights and perspectives.
So they're not just writing checks.
No, they're actually
out there shaping the conversation.
Shaping the conversation and contributing to the growth of the industry.
Contributing to the growth of the industry. Exactly.
So can you give us some specific examples?
Yeah, sure.
Of their engagement activities?
Yeah. So they participated in events like Money 2020 Asia.
Okay.
Focusing on the rise of fintech in that region. They were at OnChain 2024.
Exploring the potential of tokenized private credit.
Okay.
And they even engaged in more like intimate settings.
Okay.
Like VC mixers and strategic discussions.
Gotcha.
With organizations like the MCCIA Pune.
So they're hitting all levels of the deep tech ecosystem.
Yes.
From these massive conferences.
Yeah, totally.
To these smaller, more focused gatherings.
Okay.
It's clear that they're committed to building relationships and fostering
collaboration
within the industry.
Absolutely.
It's impressive to see a venture capital firm.
It's an active and engaged approach.
Yeah, it's clear they're not just in it for the money.
No.
They genuinely believe in this transformative power of deep tech.
Yeah.
And they want to be a part of shaping its future.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah. And that brings us to one of the most fascinating aspects of their approach, which is their commitment to continuous learning.
Yeah. Their famous reading list.
Yes. Their famous reading list.
They dedicate a whole section of their newsletter to sharing their top reads, which gives us some really interesting insights into what's shaping their thinking.
It's a treasure trove.
It is.
Of thought-provoking books.
Totally.
Covering a wide range of topics from history and philosophy to technology and economics.
And it seems like they're not afraid to
venture
outside their comfort zone.
No.
And explore ideas from different disciplines.
Yeah. So it's not just about staying up to date on the latest trends.
Wow.
It's about expanding their horizons and challenging their own assumptions.
Exactly. And that's what makes it so fascinating. The reflection of their intellectual curiosity.
Yeah.
And their willingness to engage with a wide range of perspectives.
Okay. So let's dive into some of the specific books that caught their attention.
Yeah.
What were some of the standouts?
Well, one that really resonated with them was Nexus by Yuval Noah Harari.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of that one.
Have you?
It's about how technology, politics, and society are all kind of interconnected, right?
Exactly. And Harari challenges us to think about like the broader implications of technological progress.
Okay.
And the ethical dimensions of like how we're shaping the future.
Okay. And it seems like it had a pretty profound impact on them.
Yeah.
Because they gifted this book to over 40 key contributors to their organization.
That's pretty significant.
That's a big endorsement.
Yeah, it shows how deeply they value this kind of critical thinking and engagement with big ideas.
Another one that caught their eye was The Pragmatic Programmer.
Oh, interesting.
By Andy Hunt and Dave Thomas.
That one's for software developers, right?
Yeah.
I'm surprised they found it relevant to their work as investors.
Yeah, they were too at first.
Uh-huh.
But they found it surprisingly applicable even for non-engineers.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it offers practical advice and real-world insights that can be applied to any field where problem-solving and creative thinking are essential.
So I guess it reflects their willingness to learn from unexpected sources and find inspiration in diverse fields.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
It shows that they're not afraid to challenge their own assumptions and look for insights in these unexpected places.
Absolutely.
Another book that made a strong impression was India at 100, What the Future Holds.
Okay.
And this book paints a very optimistic picture of India's future, highlighting its strides in digitization, innovation, and infrastructure development.
Okay.
And it also underscores the importance of nano finance, essentially providing financial services to even the most marginalized populations as a key to unlocking India's full potential.
So it's a reminder that technology can be a powerful force for inclusion and empowerment, especially in developing economies.
Exactly.
And it aligns perfectly with AGNA's focus on the transformative potential of these emerging markets.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground.
We have.
In this second part of our deep dive into AGNA Holdings.
Uh-huh.
We've explored their unique philosophy, their strategic vision, and their engagement with the deep tech ecosystem.
Yeah.
But there's still so much more to uncover.
There is.
In the next part, we'll delve deeper into their investment focus.
Okay.
Their criteria for selecting companies and their approach to supporting the companies they back.
Sounds good.
Stay tuned.
We'll keep going.
It's going to be a fascinating journey.
Yeah, it is.
Into the world of deep tech investing. So it's really fascinating to think about everything we've learned about AGNA Holdings, from their unique Manthan philosophy to their vision for the future of deep tech.
Yeah, they've given us a lot to think about.
They have. What stands out to you the most?
I'm particularly intrigued by their focus on the East-West corridor and the potential for emerging markets to kind of leapfrog ahead in terms of innovation.
Yeah, that's a key takeaway for me as well. It challenges that traditional narrative of technology just flowing from west to east and suggests this more dynamic and collaborative future where innovation is happening on a truly global scale.
And it's not just a theoretical concept, right? They're backing it up with their investment dollars.
Exactly.
Focusing on regions like India, the UAE, and Saudi Arabia.
Right, which are making significant strides in areas like aerospace, defense, AI, semiconductors.
It is exciting to see these countries stepping up and becoming major players in the deep tech arena.
Yeah, but I'm also struck by their commitment to continuous learning.
Yeah, that's what makes them so unique. They're not just investors.
Yeah.
They're thought leaders.
Yeah.
Constantly seeking out new knowledge, new perspectives, and using those insights to inform their investment decisions.
And their newsletter is a great example of that.
It is. It's like a monthly dose of thought-provoking insights on emerging technologies.
Yeah.
Investment trends, the future of innovation.
So for our listeners who are eager to learn more about AGNA Holdings and their work, where can they go to find out more?
The best place to start is their website, agnaholdings.com.
Okay.
And there you'll find detailed information about, you know, their investment philosophy, their team, their portfolio companies.
Yeah.
And their latest insights and perspectives.
Yeah, it's a treasure trove of information.
It is.
For anyone interested in deep tech investing.
Totally.
In the companies that are shaping the future.
And don't forget about their newsletter.
Right.
Which you can also subscribe to on their website.
Exactly. It's a great way to stay up to date on their latest thinking.
Their latest thinking and the trends they're seeing.
So, as we wrap up this deep dive.
Yeah.
What are some of the key takeaways our listeners should keep in mind?
Well, first and foremost,
yeah.
I think AGNA Holdings offers a refreshing and inspiring perspective on the world of venture capital.
I agree.
They're not just chasing profits.
Mm-hmm.
They're genuinely committed to using technology to solve problems.
Right.
create a better future.
Their Manthan philosophy is a great example of that.
It is.
It's a reminder that innovation can have positive and negative consequences. Mm-hmm. And it's our responsibility to make sure that it's used ethically and for the greater good.
Their focus on data and engineering as like foundational elements of innovation is really insightful as well.
Yeah, it highlights the importance of understanding those core building blocks of technology and how they can be applied to solve such a wide range of challenges.
Absolutely. Mm. And their East-West Corridor strategy is a bold, visionary bet on the future of innovation.
It really is.
Suggesting that emerging markets will play an increasingly important role in shaping the technological landscape.
Their commitment to continuous learning is also something to be admired.
It is.
They're constantly seeking out new knowledge, new perspectives.
Which allows them to stay ahead of the curve and make more informed decisions.
And maybe most importantly, they're not just talking the talk.
They're walking the walk.
They're walking the walk.
They're actively engaging with the community, supporting their portfolio companies, and using their influence to promote responsible and ethical innovation.
They're a shining example.
They are.
Of how venture capital can be a force for positive change.
I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
Agna Holdings is definitely a company to watch. Yeah. I'm excited to see what they accomplish in the years to come.
Well, thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Into the world of Agna Holdings.
It's been fun.
We hope you found it as insightful and inspiring.
As we did.
As we did.
Until next time.
Yes.
Keep exploring, keep learning, and keep pushing the boundaries of what's possible.
Absolutely. The future is full of possibilities.
It is.
And it's up to all of us to shape it for the better.
I agree.